Wagon Show. Yes, the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Bert Kalten, Art Carney, Milton Kadams in the orchestra, the Billy Williams Quartet, and Ed Herlihy. And here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
That's very amusing, you know. That is not Ed Herlihy. That is a high-class actor who just jumped in there. I didn't notice.
Oh, well, let's hope old Ed gets... Hello, old Ed.
Thank Mr. Carney on your way in.
Trade jokes. What page are we up to now? Nobody's here.
Well, that was a very interesting introduction, and it's a coincidence. I've been reading an interesting article about introducing people to each other. Not like we did, but, you know, like two people. So according to the article I read, when you're introducing somebody who has a difficult name, you should spell it out, it says. Like this. Miss Jones, may I present Mr. Hockershermerhorn? H-O-C-K-L-A-C-A. Miss Jones, H-O-C-K-L-A-C... A... Miss Jones, I want you to shake hands with Sam here. As says, when introducing one woman to another, the older woman is mentioned first. Now, I figured out a way that you can do this without offending the older woman. You do it like this. Miss Humphreys, 35 years old, meet Miss Wilkins, who claims she's 31. There's another rule, and that's when you're introducing two important people, the person who is more important comes first. And the article gives this as a typical introduction. Mrs. Vanderbilt III, I'd like you to meet Rocky Graziano. Of course, I know why you laugh. It's silly. Mrs. Vanderbilt couldn't last two rounds with Rocky. Very often, you'll find that you're in the embarrassing position of not remembering the name of the person that you're introducing. It happens, but this is simple. There are five rules you can follow in this situation when you don't remember the name. Rule one. Mr. Harper, I'd like you to meet... Rule two. Mr. Harper, I'd like you to meet... Rule three. Mr. Harper, I'd like you to meet Mr. Fudge. Rule four. Mr. Harper, I'd like you to meet... Say, where'd you get that tie? Nice tie. Rule five. Mr. Harper, you wouldn't like this guy. Let's have a drink. Now, when you're introduced, you should show a personal interest in the person. Personal interest. For example, if your host says, Miss Hawkins, this is Mr. Morgan, the correct reply is, pleased to meet you, Miss Hawkins. How'd you get so fat? When introducing your wife to somebody, never use a colloquialism in referring to her. Don't say, Mr. Collins, meet the old bag. Say, Mr. Collins, meet my wife, Agnes. He can see that she's an old bag. You don't have to... excuse me. Here comes my friend Gerard. Hello, Gerard.
Hiya.
Where were you and Ed? Say, I was just reading an article about etiquette. You know something? You shouldn't say hiya.
What then, Kapoy?
No. You could say something like, I'm delighted to see you again, or how charming to run into you. Or...
Hey. Hmm? Be honest with yourself.
What?
You're charming.
Well, I'm talking about the proper way to show that you're pleased to meet somebody.
You're making such a fuss, I'll tell you the truth.
What?
Now I'm sorry I met you.
John, I'm just trying to point out that there are certain niceties of speech, which, when properly observed, are the hallmark of good breeding and tend to foster graceful social relationships.
Give me a for instance.
Now, you see? There. You shouldn't say, give me a for instance. You could say, would you care to elucidate, or I don't quite understand your point.
I don't quite understand your point.
That's better.
So give me a for instance.
Let's see. All right, look. Now, suppose you were to meet a lady that you know, And you've heard that the lady's husband is seriously ill. What would you say to it?
Hiya.
You forgot, her husband's sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, then what are you going to say to her?
Want to go out tonight, kid?
You don't try to make a date with a woman whose husband is sick.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Of course.
It might be catching.
Look, never mind the woman. Suppose I am sick and you come to the hospital to visit me. What would you say?
Hiya.
Gerard, look. I'm sick. I'm in a room in a hospital. Now, what would you say?
How much they soaking you for this room?
Is that all you're interested in, what the room costs?
To tell you the truth, I ain't even interested in that. I was just trying to be flowy.
Oh, I give up. Forget the whole thing.
Okay, so long, Hank.
There, you see that? There. You shouldn't say so long.
Oh, okay. Hiya.
No, you should say it was awfully nice speaking to you. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely. Let's terminate this little chat, and I hope to see you again in the near future.
Yeah, likewise.
Oh. Subject of etiquette, it might be a good idea to get over to NBC for the broadcast. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Good evening, everybody. Each week at this time, we present an outstanding personality who has distinguished himself in the sports world. Our man of the week for tonight is a sensational young baseball pitcher who was recently purchased by the Jersey City Blue Sox, and here he is now. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Lefty Kearney. Well, Lefty, in just a few short weeks, the baseball season opens, and you'll be in there pitching your first professional game.
That's right.
What'd you say?
That's right.
Oh, well, making your professional pitching debut must be an exciting prospect. I'll bet you can't wait for that familiar cry, play ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I can wait.
Tell us, Lefty, how did you develop that great pitching arm of yours, the one that the Jersey City Blue Sox are reportedly buying for $40,000?
I didn't pay that much.
What?
No, they didn't pay that much.
Well, how did you ever develop your powerful pitching arm?
Squeezing and unsqueezing.
Squeezing and unsqueezing.
A sponge ball.
Squeezing and unsqueezing a sponge ball.
Open and close. Open and close.
I see.
Strengthens up the knuckle muscles for throwing.
Yeah. Well, for the benefit of the fans who want to know you better, maybe you should tell us something of your background.
You ain't got a sponge ball, use a hockey puck.
Well, I suppose. Tell me, Lefty, what is your favorite strikeout ball?
Well, is it okay to say spit?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite ball is a curve.
Curve.
With spit on it.
Yeah. Well, what I wish you'd do, could you give us a few statistics on yourself?
Well, Mr. Morgan.
Could you speak a little louder, Lefty?
Well, Mr. Morgan, I'm 20 years old. I'm 6'2". I bat righty. I throw lefty. Last season, I pitched 2-1 hitters, about a 286, and I hope to do better this season.
I guess that's all the statistics. Well, thank you very much, Lefty Kearney. It was a pleasure to have you here.
And
have
the many Jersey ball fans.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Notice the strong grip I got?
Yes, you have.
It's from squeezing and unsqueezing sponge ball. Strengthens your knuckle muscles.
Thanks again, Lefty, and good night. Oh, look, don't forget the sponge balls there. Thank you a lot. Billy Williams, Billy Williams Quartet, in the cool of the evening, which they will now warm up.
Well, the old lion gave a party way down in Jungle Town. And all the cats that were invited came from miles around. All except that old monkey who chose to stay in bed. Instead, he sent a note that he wrote. And this is what he said. Lemonade, cake, and ice cream ain't my kind of affair. But in the cool of the evening when the loving goes on, I'll be there. Afternoon socials drag me. Tea and crumpets ain't nowhere. But in the cool of the evening when the loving goes on, I'll be there. I'll be around when the sun goes down, just to satisfy my soul. When the moon comes out, that's the time to shout. That's the good time to roll. So if you're planning on pitching a function and you're counting on seeing me there, let's do it upright. Forget about the right. Make it at night and that'll be just right. In the cool of the evening when the loving goes on. Woo! I'll be there. I'll be around when the sun goes down, just to satisfy my soul. When the moon comes out, that's the time to shout. Let the good times roll. So if you're planning on pitching a function and you're counting on seeing me there, let's do it upright.
Thank you, Billy Williams, and three. You know, a lot of people have asked me, because I've been in the business a while, how it's arranged for a radio show to finish on time. Well, I'll tell you. There's a producer in a control room who signals to us whether to talk faster or slower so that we don't overrun the time or run short. Now, for the first time in radio history tonight, we're going to illustrate to our listening audience exactly how we do this. But instead of giving us hand signals, I've asked the producer to ring a bell when he wants us to speed up and press a buzzer when he wants us to slow down during this next sketch, and you'll see how it works. Would you introduce it, Ed?
I sure will, Henry.
See you.
A saga of the Wild West, Tall in the Saddle. The story of a man whose horse kept stepping on his feet. Our story takes place in a wild frontier town. A stranger enters the Red Dog Saloon.
Give me a slug of liquor.
Howdy, stranger.
Howdy, stranger.
You stranger here, stranger?
Yeah. Mama's stranger. Stranger?
I reckon so. Never seen nobody look stranger.
When you say that, smile.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name, stranger?
Tex.
Where are you from, Tex?
Louisiana.
Then how come they call you Tex?
'Cause I don't like being called Louise.
From Louisiana.
You're a cattle rustler.
You know me, eh? It won't do you no good. Reach for the sky. Come on, reach for the sky.
I'll reach, but I never make
it.
What hap in?
Who are you?
My name is Layla Watson. I live at the Barrick's Ranch, and someone's been stealing cows from my poor old daddy's ranch. I think I know who it is.
What?
My name is Mary.
Never mind.
But this man here's Cactus Joe, and he's the thief who's been stealing all our cattle.
Sure, I stole a cow, but you never give me a laugh.
Oh, no, take that.
Missed. Ow.
You got me. Done for. Dying fast.
That's fast?
Dying dead.
You want to hitch? I love you, and I want to hitch up with you. You want to hitch up with me?
I'd like to hitch up with you, Mary Lou, but I can't. You see, I already got a horse.
Then it's goodbye?
Yes, it's bye.
Bye.
You see? Right on time, no trouble at all. Ed, there's another thing that has come up with us before, particularly, and I'm sure you knew about it. There is a great difference between the way things happen in real life and the way they happen in radio, if you care to. Suppose I demonstrate with a few examples.
No, I didn't.
What pace did you give him when he came in? Ed, if you could rearrange those speeches, we could we could show the two different ways in which a man can go somewhere in an automobile, for instance. We could. Now, in radio, this is the way you get places in a car.
Who deals?
What? In real life, a car ride sounds more like this.
Now what?
Turn on the ignition, stupid. You're going too slow. Don't get so close to that other car. Watch the guy behind you. Stick out your hand. Get in the horn. You're going too fast. Your brake isn't down. Better stop for gas. You're going too slow. I think you got a flat. Wipe your windshield. You're going too fast. Put on your brakes. Turn off the heater. You're going too slow. What are you stopping for?
I want to look at the tires. You stay in the car, honey. Well, it was a 49 Buick, but it was worth it.
In case you didn't know it, there are also two ways in which a man finds out what time it is. The real-life way and the radio way. First, the radio way.
I wonder what time it is. I'll turn on the radio and sing.
The correct time brought to you by Pasternak Watches, America's most superb timepiece. For her birthday, give her a Pasternak. Give her the new Lady Pasternak body band, curved to fit the stomach. Yes, the Pasternak at better jewelers everywhere. That's Pasternak. P-A-S-T-E-R-N-A-K. Pasternak. Yes, give a Pasternak. And you give a Pasternak.
Yeah, but what time is it?
However, finding out the time in real life goes like this.
I wonder what time it is. Hey, what time is it?
Gee, I don't know. This time watch of mine's no good.
What kind is it?
Pasternak.
Naturally, there are two ways to receive a phone call. First, the radio way.
to the phone, dear.
I started to. Hello? You say you've been trying to get this number all evening? You say you want to talk to Madeline? You say you want to know who this is? You say you'll call again later? All right, goodbye.
Who was it, dear?
Your husband.
In real life, when you get a phone call, something like this might happen.
Okay, I'm going. Well, it's for the guy who lives downstairs. They want to know what program he's listening to.
There are a couple of ways in which a wife serves her husband soup. In radio, this is the way a wife might offer her husband a bowl of soup.
Here, darling, have some wonderful Hinkle's tomato soup.
Oh, sweetheart. You mean good old Hinkle's that you and the family are sure to like for its tempting, delicious flavor?
Yes, precious. Did you know there's no other tomato soup like it?
Sure, lover. And isn't it because, one, it contains the finest selected from the world's best crops, and because Hinkle's tomato soup is produced only when the crop is at its peak of red ripeness, so as to assure you tomato flavor at its delicious best?
Yes. And do you know why else Hinkle's is the best?
Yes, darling. Because, two, a new scientific process safeguards and protects the fresh tomato flavor.
Yes, Angel. Try it, Smudge Pot, and see if you don't say exactly what millions of others say.
Listen, ladies. Give your family a treat and serve them all that sensational, tasty new kind of tomato soup. They'll all be shouting, yummy, let's have some more mummy. Get it today, ladies. Hinkle's, that yummy, yummy tomato soup.
But in real life, when a wife serves her husband soup, the scene might sound a little more like this.
Here, knucklehead, I made you some tomato soup.
I made. Open a rotten old can.
She made. Then, of course, there are the different ways in which a woman tells a man she loves him. First, the radio version.
Harry,
Joyce. I know what you're...
Oh, Harry, it's all lies.
No, it's not all yours.
But how are you two?
Oh, I've been such a...
And I've been,
But I've been a bigger...
Who am I to?
Darling, you mean you.
Harry, I...
Joyce, I know what you're...
What was Joyce trying to? Does Harry know that she's... Don't forget to... Your announcer is Ed. This is the Nationals. That was the radio way. Now, we want you to know how a woman sounds when she tells a man she loves him in real life, like this.
Harry, you're going to the office now?
Yeah, why?
Well, put on your rubber snip. Would you want to catch Cole?
Then there are two decidedly different ways men are presented. For example, in radio, a man might get this kind of presentation.
State's Attorney, defender of the defense, champion of the champions, guardian of the guardians, trustee of the trustees, protector of our Constitution, of our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness at home and abroad, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, Mr. State's Attorney!
But in real life, when a man is presented, it might happen more like this.
Tom, I'd like you to shake hands with Bob Courtney. You know Bob, don't you?
No, afraid not. What do you do, Bob?
I'm a state's attorney.
I somehow have a feeling that I paid for more music than that.
Where were we? Oh. Well, right here. You are also no doubt aware that there are two different ways in which you can send a telegram. In radio, sending a telegram goes like this.
Hello? Hello? Telegraph office? This is urgent, very important.
Go ahead, sir.
Telegram to Stanislaus Walkowitz, 8546 1/2-34 Road J, Turnpike Boulevard Northwest, Caterwaugan, Saskatchewan. Dear Walkowitz, Hammacher Schlemmer, have number 7 reconverted corrugated stitches at 9 1/4, 100 weight. Regards to Knobloch Zerbensky. Have you got that, operator?
Yes, sir. Shall I read it back?
Yes.
Pay telegram going to Mr. Stanislaus Walkowitz, 8546 1/2-34 Road J, Turnpike Boulevard Northwest, Caterwaugan, Saskatchewan. Dear Walkowitz, Hammacher Schlemmer, have number 7 reconverted corrugated stitches at 9 1/4, 100 weight. Regards to Knobloch Zerbensky. Thank you.
Thank you.
But in real life, sending a telegram is more apt to sound like this.
Hello? Telegraph office? I want to send a telegram, please.
How you spell that?
And finally, there are two ways to take your leave of someone. Here's how you might part company with someone in real life.
Well, so long, honey.
So long. Is it a date for next Sunday?
Oh, sure.
Same place?
I'll be on the same corner again next week.
Promise?
Yeah, I promise. I'll be on the same corner again next week.
But in radio, a fella taking his leave might say it this way.
Now, like I said, I'll be in the same corner again next week.
Show with Arnold Stang, Kurt Kelton, Art Carney, Doris Dalton, Beverly Roberts, Beverly Billy Williams Quartet, Gator's Orchestra. Morgan himself will be back on this corner in front of the cigar store next week at the same time. The Henry Morgan Show is produced by Kenneth McGregor. This is Ed Hurley. Good night, everybody.
Don't go away. If you like the Henry Morgan Show, you'd better keep your dial set to the CBC Trans-Canada Network, for Tuesday means a trio of great comedy shows. In just half an hour, Bob Hope will be back with another show of laughs featuring Pert Songstress Doris Day, the musical backgrounds of Les Brown and his band of renown, announcer High Everback, and hosts of others, including Stooges Irene Ryan and Jack Kirkwood. The Henry Morgan Show came to Canadian listeners as a delayed broadcast through the facilities of NBC, the national broadcasting company. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.